been thinking about spiritual depression, its causes and cure. I don't know how many weeks we've spent now on this. There are a few more still to go, but we're coming towards the end. This morning we're going to be thinking about being weary in doing good. And our text is found in Galatians and chapter 6. So let's read from Galatians and chapter 6 first of all. If you've got a church Bible in your hand, there's one in front of you, if you would like to follow the reading. It's found on page 1172. That's 1172. Galatians 6, starting to read at verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Christians are to be involved in good works. We're not saved. We're not brought into a relationship with God by our good works. But we are saved in order that we might do good works. And here at the beginning of Galatians and chapter 6, Paul spells out some of the good works that Christians are to be engaged in. Firstly, the work of restoration, brothers and sisters. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And then there's a warning that follows, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. And then there's the work of carrying in verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Paul here is not obviously giving an extensive list of all the good things that Christians are to be involved in. Presumably he mentions two here that came to his mind as he was writing. But look at verse 10. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It's really important that we who profess to be Christians engage in good works and not give up. Why do I say that? Well, look at verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, what is this harvest? Well, I would suggest to you, verse 8 gives us the answer. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I think the harvest spoken about in verse 9 is eternal life. We must do good works. Not because we are saved by good works, but because good works are proof of faith, real faith, saving faith. Listen to what John Stott writes. Patient endurance in well-doing is a characteristic of the true Christian. A characteristic so indispensable that it will be taken as evidence of saving faith on the judgment day. So as Christians, we are to be engaged in good works. But sometimes, perhaps, we may find ourselves feeling quite weary and tired as we engage in them. We may not be weary of the work, but we can so easily become weary in the work. Often, when we first become Christians, we're very enthusiastic and we want to serve Jesus. But keeping going is the challenge, isn't it? Sometimes as Christians we might take on a particular work. It doesn't have to be in the church. It might be at home. It might be at work. Because we're not just serving Jesus, are we, in the church? We're serving Jesus wherever we find ourselves. At any given time. We begin with enthusiasm. We begin with lots of energy. But then we perhaps grow tired and weary. We may even find ourselves feeling somewhat discouraged and depressed in the work. We reach a point whereby it can feel like a bit of a slog, a bit of a chore. I think it's encouraging in these verses that we're looking at this morning that Paul recognized that Christians can become weary in doing good. It's there in verse 9, and in fact this is our text for this morning. But clearly, becoming weary in doing good is not something that Paul wanted for believers. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. So, if we do become weary in doing good, maybe that's how we feel this morning, I don't know, what should we do? Well, let me say firstly, beware of initial voices. Beware of initial voices. You see, it's so easy to react to initial voices that come from within. Let me mention some of these possible initial voices. Why don't you just give up? You're tired, you're weary, you're struggling, you're not coping. Why don't you just give up? I wonder, have we ever heard this voice before? Perhaps some of us would say 1,000 times. Here's another initial voice. I really don't want to have to keep on doing this, but I know that I must. I have a responsibility. I've just got to get on with it. And perhaps this is something that some of us may have been saying for many years. I've just got to get on with it. And we do so, faithfully, but begrudgingly. Every day just feels like a slog and we see no light at the end of the tunnel. And we say to ourselves, must I always be so unhappy in what I'm doing? Here is another possible initial voice. Why not change the way you're doing it? Why don't you try something a bit more novel? Of course, there may be some value in doing something different. A change may be good. On the other hand, it may not be very helpful at all. Let me be honest and say that sometimes I find preaching week after week, after week after week after week after week, quite tiring. Mentally tiring, emotionally tiring. I suppose there are some things that I could do instead of preaching on a Sunday morning. I daren't mention them. Some of you might like the idea of some of them. But it's so vital, isn't it, that we hear God's word when we meet together like this on a Sunday morning. Actually, it's vital that we hear God's word as we spend time with God each day. As a pastor, I'm called to preach the word of God in season and out of season, when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. Here's another possible initial voice. Why not try some artificial stimulants? Might sound an over-the-top thing to say to Christians on a Sunday morning in church, but that may be the temptation for some. Why not try a bit of alcohol to see you through? Why not try some drugs to help lift you and carry you along your way? Friends, we need to be aware of initial voices. You see, initial voices may not always be that helpful. They may not always be right. We need to be a people that are careful not to act on our feelings or our initial thoughts. So firstly, beware of initial voices. Secondly, I would say we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. Why are we feeling so tired? Whenever something isn't quite right in our lives, it's always a good idea to do a proper diagnosis before we prescribe treatment. Imagine a man going to hospital and his leg is sore. In fact, it's quite painful. Doctor comes to see him. What's the matter? Well, I've got a pain in my leg, doctor. Well, how about we give you some paracetamol? Or worse, how about we take it off this afternoon? The doctor needs to examine his patient, doesn't he, thoroughly? He needs to do a proper diagnosis before he prescribes any kind of treatment. The man may need antibiotics. He may need something else. Why are we feeling so tired and weary as we engage in good works of one kind or another? As I say, it doesn't have to be working in the church. It can be serving in the home. It can be living our Christian lives at work or in the community or wherever else. Why are we feeling so tired as we're living for Jesus, as we're doing all the things that we think that he would have us do? Is it because we've been working too hard? Is it because we've been taking on too many things? It may be. We are, of course, only human beings. We're not superheroes. And of course, as we get older, our bodies become weaker. We can't do as much as what we did when we were younger. I think Moses and Elijah in the Old Testament probably both overdid it at various points in their ministries. Is it because we have been doing Christian work in our own strength rather than in God's strength? I think this can be a very serious problem in Christian work today. Dare I say it? There may be lots of Christians engaged in ministry of one kind or another who are spending so little time with God and drawing upon his resources that they are basically running on fumes. And we all know that you can't run a car on fumes. Cars need petrol, they need diesel, they need a power source. Well, that's what we need, isn't it, as Christians. We need the power of Almighty God working in and through us that we might engage in doing the things that God would have us do. Much of it is spiritual work. Spiritual work requires spiritual resources. It requires spiritual might. Is it because we have been doing Christian work in our own strength instead of in the Holy Spirit's strength? Why are we feeling tired? Is it because our motives have been less than wholesome? Have we been serving others because we like being seen as busy, perhaps in order to win the praise of men? Have we been serving others because we want to feel valued by others? Have we been doing the work of the Lord because we want to see or meet with success, whatever success might mean? When these are our only motives, and we don't receive the praise of men, and we don't feel valued in the work we are doing, and we don't meet with success, there's going to come a point, is there not, when we feel weary and tired and discouraged and perhaps want to give up. When the work becomes a chore, when the work becomes a burden to us. We must ask the question, why am I feeling so weary in the work? We need to make a proper diagnosis. And then, having examined ourselves, thirdly and lastly, we need to apply the remedy. What is the remedy for working too hard? Well, if we have genuinely been working too hard, then of course one of the remedies is rest. There was a time when Elijah found himself physically and emotionally exhausted. Alone, he had taken on the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The Bible tells us that he was absolutely exhausted and became quite depressed and wanted to die. It's wonderful how the Lord ministered to him. He didn't come along and say to Elijah, "Come on, Elijah, keep on going." No, he gave him opportunity to sleep, to rest. He gave him food and something to drink. Sometimes, you see, rest and recuperation is what's needed. Sometimes we need a holiday. Sometimes we need to make sure that we're using our day of rest as we should. Whatever we make of the Sabbath, I would encourage us to uphold the principle of the Sabbath. We need time to slow down, to stop, to think, to meditate upon the things of God, to spend time with God, recharging our batteries. What is the remedy for working too hard? Firstly, rest. Secondly, I would suggest spreading the workload. And here I'm going to Moses. You may remember that Moses was at one point the man responsible for dealing with all the disputes of the Israelites. And there were hundreds of thousands of them. He couldn't deal with them all. He was at work from early in the morning till late in the day. He was becoming weary in the work that he was doing. It was necessary work, but it was too much for him. And then, of course, we read that Jethro, his father-in-law, came along and, I think, gave him wise words. "You're doing too much. Why don't you appoint judges? So that the judges can deal with the smaller matters amongst God's people, and you can just deal with the more difficult cases." And that's what happened. And Moses' workload was spread. I hope Joanne won't mind me saying, but it's been a bit too much for her at times, looking after her dad, particularly when he's up and about during the night. Well, we've organised for him now to have times of a respite care, and that's proving to be really helpful. 2 weeks of just giving Joanne and the rest of the family something of a break. We're spreading the workload. Now, I'm not suggesting that spreading the workload is always an easy thing to do, but at least we ought to think about it and pray about the matter, mindful, of course, that God knows our need. What's the remedy for working or serving the Lord in our own strength? Well, once we've recognized that we are serving the Lord in our own strength, we can go to Jesus, can't we? And we can spend time with him. And we can draw upon his resources. I do worry that there are people in churches, Christians serving it in churches, and they're not spending adequate time with Jesus. And they're tired and they're weary, and it's not surprising. What did the Lord say to Zerubbabel? "Not by might nor power, but by my spirit." The fact of the matter is that aided by the Spirit of God, we can actually achieve much more than we think we probably can. What is the remedy for less than wholesome motives? Well, it's seeking to cultivate wholesome motives, isn't it? And we need God's help to be able to do that. We need His help to put to death those less than wholesome motives. We need God's help that we might serve, that we might work always for the glory of God. You know, the joy of serving the Lord should be what really enthuses and motivates us. What did Nehemiah say? Nehemiah 8 and verse 2, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to say a number of things in connection with this. We should be a people who regularly think about what it is that we have actually entered into. What have we entered into? It's a simple answer. It's not a complicated answer. We have entered into the Christian, note the next word, life. We have entered into the Christian life. We have not entered into the Christian duty. Though Christians are to be dutiful, we have entered into the Christian life. And we are to live this life that we have been given in all its fullness. In order to help us do this, we should think about how the Christian life came to us. How did it came to us? It came to us because Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven and entered into our sin-sick world as a man. It came to us because Jesus took our sins upon Himself and in His own body bore the punishment for those sins. It has come to us because God in His grace made us alive together with Christ. And He did this when we were His enemies. We need to think about how the Christian life came to us. I would suggest that we also need to think about who it is that we serve. Have you ever listened to people talk that work for the Queen? We've been to Buckingham Palace as a family, and Windsor Castle, and Sandringham up in Norfolk. And if you want to talk to the people who serve the Queen, Sandringham is probably one of the best residences to go to. We've chatted with quite a number. They're so enthusiastic about what they do and who it is that they're working for. You can see their faces light up as they tell you what they're doing. They're looking after her horses, or they're doing this, or they're doing that. They see it as a tremendous privilege, and they put everything into it. Only the best for Her Majesty. Friends, let us think about who it is that we serve. We serve our Saviour and our King. And He's not just an earthly King, He is the King of Kings. And maybe this morning we need to grasp a fresh sense of who it is that we serve. It was so helpful having Peter spend time this morning reminding us, informing us of who God is. We're serving the God who fills that universe. We're serving the God who's put every planet into its particular place within the universe. We're serving the God who sustains it all. We're serving the God who knows all about those tiny little bits in the universe that I don't know the name of and probably have never heard the name of. He's sustaining them all. He's moving them all according to his great plan and purpose. It's amazing, isn't it? We're serving this God. When we read the testimony of the Apostle Paul, we see how hard he worked and how willing he was to suffer for his Lord. But this, of course, can be said of the other apostles. Listen to what we read in Acts chapter 5. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. This is the religious authorities. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They loved his name. They loved all that he was. He was their Savior. And even if they'd been told not to speak about him, even if it meant being persecuted again, they were going to go on speaking about him. Because you see, they'd grasped who it was that they were serving. Can I suggest that if we can get up excitedly in the morning to play some kind of sport or other kind of pastime, but can never get excited about the Lord's work, then we have a spiritual problem, don't we? And we need to take that matter to the Lord. And we need to confess our lukewarmness. And we need to pray to him that he would change us. That he would bring joy to our experience once again. We need to think about whom we serve. We also need to think about what is coming to us. Verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, sometimes we're so immersed in this world's difficulties and challenges that we forget to look ahead to the eternal joys that are coming our way. And let me add, and soon. For some of us here this morning, we're probably mindful that it is only just around the corner. But when we think about the length of eternity and the time that we spend here upon the earth, actually it's only just around the corner, isn't it, for all of us who are believers. Listen to this. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. You know, Jesus, God's Son, came in this world not to be served, but to serve. He came in order to work. He came in order to fulfill a duty. He came to die upon a cross so that sinners might be forgiven and reconciled to God and go to heaven. None of us have ever served and worked in such a way that it has proven so difficult as going to the cross. How did Jesus keep going? How did he go to the cross? Why didn't he just give up? Why didn't he shy away from it? Let me read to you what it says in Hebrews 12. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It was the joy that was set before him, the glory of heaven. The joy, I would add, of redeeming sinners as well, but certainly the joy of heaven, that's what kept him going. We suffer for a little while now. We work now. We serve the Lord now. It's not always easy. Sometimes it can be discouraging, but we keep going. Because just around the corner, there's something wonderful that God has set before us. I want to remind us this morning as we close that Satan does not want us to be a people who are joyfully serving the Lord. And he will do everything he possibly can to discourage us and to make us feel like giving up. Friends, let me leave us this morning with the words of God, with the words of the apostle. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let me simply encourage us this morning to keep on serving the Lord Jesus, wherever that might be, and doing whatever it is that he has called us to do. We have the resources that we need. We just need to look to him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We do, if we're honest, many of us at least, sometimes become weary in serving Jesus, weary in fulfilling the tasks and responsibilities that you've given to us. Please forgive us. Help us to know when we're doing too much. Help us, Lord, if necessary, to be able to spread the workload. But please help each one of us to have the right motives, because whatever we do, we are to do it unto the Lord. We're to do it with a view to pleasing you, with a view to bringing glory to your great, holy, and worthy name. And help us to serve you, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. We cannot live on fumes. We cannot do the things that you would have us do in our own strength. Without me, Jesus has said, you can do nothing. Grant us your might. Grant us your aid. Surprise us, Lord, by what we are able to do when empowered by your Spirit. And may we know joy. Joy in our service, O Lord, for you. May we live the Christian life. May we daily remind ourselves of how the Christian life has come to us. May we be a people who simply delight day by day in doing their best for the Lord Jesus. We thought this morning about those who serve the Queen in her royal residences with such enthusiasm. It's viewed as such a privilege. Well, we have a greater privilege. Help us to remember who it is that we serve. And never to forget that there is a glorious and wonderful reward waiting for us at the end of our race. Please restrain the work of the evil one in our time. He's so clever. So much cleverer than we are. Please restrain his work. And fulfill your purposes in all of our lives, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.